And welcome back to the Sign Green Show. I'm Sign Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Make sure you go to signgreenshow.com. That's signgreenshow.com. All the podcasts are up there. Make sure you check it out for our Vegas trip in January 2015. That's been announced. So make sure you go to signgreenshow.com for that. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at The Sign Green Show and on Facebook, Sign Green Show Media. Today is that day that we bring in Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMnow.com, and RayCarcillo.com. He's on with us right now. We're going to talk video games, video games, video games. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much fun? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So this is one of the things that really got me here, the PlayStation Experience. Tell me about PlayStation Experience.
Well, PlayStation Experience is kind of Sony's way of doing their first real fan event, kind of in the way how that PAX has done it for so many years up in Boston and Seattle, and also starting last year, I think it was in Texas. So this event happened in Vegas. It happened last weekend, kind of right around the same time as Jeff Keighley's new Game Awards. And what Sony's basically just trying to do is kind of reminding people right before the holidays, kind of like a mini E3 about all the great things that Sony has going on in 2015. And it's a huge convention. There was a lot of fans that they let in, and they showed off Uncharted 4. They showed off The Order 1886. They showed off Mortal Kombat X. They showed off a lot of great games. And yeah, I think it was a really good experience, and I'm wouldn't be surprised if maybe somebody else like Microsoft maybe starts doing something like that next year.
Yeah, I noticed they had unveiled a new Street Fighter, and that looked, to me, it looks awesome. What did you think when you saw that?
Yeah, so Street Fighter V officially got announced. I mean, it looks great. They announced Charlie as one of the playable characters, and I think it's just going to be, it's Capcom doing what they do best. You know, they know Street Fighter, they know what their fans want, and I think that it looks amazing on next gen. I think it's just going to be a matter of time. Obviously, it's still very, very early. Everyone is kind of assuming an early 2016 release with them showing it off here. The big thing about it, obviously, is that it's PlayStation and PC exclusive. So, that alone has a huge feather in Sony's cap. Whether or not it's going to be a timed exclusive, we don't know yet. Kind of like what a lot of people are suspecting with the new Tomb Raider, where it's going to be a timed exclusive for Microsoft. I wouldn't be surprised if it's only timed exclusive for Sony, but the fact that Sony got it first, it's looking as good as it is really a boon for them.
Yeah. So is it safe to say that PlayStation 3 is done?
I think that it's pretty much a done deal. The only real game that you still have coming out for PS3 only is Tales of Zestiria, which is the Bandai Namco JRPG in the Tales series that's coming out in a few months. But other than that, I really would be surprised if you heard anything that was announced past, I would say, the middle of next year that would come to PS3 as well as PS4. I think it's kind of time where you're going to start seeing everything on all the companies, third-party, especially the third-party developers, are really just going to start pushing and throwing everything in with next-gen.
All right, you mentioned Tomb Raider earlier. Let's move on to Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris. Now, is this game an action game and like a puzzle game at the same time?
Yeah, so it's a twin-stick arcade shooter, right? So there's a lot of action. It's from a top-down view, and so there's a lot of puzzle solving, but it's not as much action-adventure as you'd probably expect from a Tomb Raider game. I mean, there's still action. She still has her iconic dual pistols that she'll, have to use against undead creatures and whatnot as she explores this ancient Egyptian tomb dedicated to Osiris, who is an ancient Egyptian god. And basically, she has to fight Osiris's murderer, who is another Egyptian god called Set. And she has to prevent Set from returning from the underworld and, covering the world in darkness. And whereas it is in terms of gameplay, it's a top-down view, and you just hold, basically, you have infinite ammo, and it's just a matter of solving puzzles, uncovering these 12 different tombs They're in this ancient Egyptian pyramid, and fighting the undead in a way. So it still has that Tomb Raider flair. It's just very much from a different camera angle, and it's not the action that you typically get from your typical Tomb Raider game.
Okay, and also, can you play this online at all?
Yes, it's 4-player co-op. So what you can do is you can play it online or locally, which is a nice change. You don't usually see a lot of people actually afford the couch co-op anymore. But you can get there's 4 players because there's a second character named Carter Bell, who's kind of like Clara, and he's this archaeologist type. And then there's the 2 Egyptian gods, Isis and Horus, who are supposed to help you protect the world from Set. So you can play as Lara and these 3 other characters. Each character, Lara and Carter, have special abilities that only they can use, like a grappling hook, whereas Horus and Isis can only use this thing called the Staff of Osiris, which can shoot energy beams and can move platforms. And only by working together as a team will all 4 players be able to conquer all the tombs and solve all the puzzles. But if you should play by yourself, you can still do it. What will happen is Lara's, one of her weapon slots will be taken up by the Staff of Osiris, so she can still use, when you're playing by yourself, you can use all the powers that are that would only be available to the 4 characters, just you have less special weapons to use with Lara when you play by yourself.
Okay, great. Let's move on to the first expansion pack from Destiny, titled The Dark Below. What are some of the new things in this expansion pack?
Well, you know, the new expansion pack it revolves around the Hive, and it's how you want to try and stop the Hive's dark god, Carta, from coming out. And you get 3 new story missions, 2 of which are replayable. You get 2 new strike missions. One of them is exclusive to the PS4, and you get a new raid, which, of course, is the big thing. I think the big thing here, though, is Bungie has kind of tried to tweak and balance a lot of the grinding that you've seen from so far in the game, and trying to get resources in order to level up and to get the kind of armor that you need. You've also got the level cap's been extended by a couple of levels. But personally, I found that actually by trying to fix things with balancing with all the new resources, and trying to make it so that the certain resources drop more often than others, they've actually, I think, made it worse. If you're somebody who grinds a lot in Destiny and who has been grinding and has kind of been with it, sticking with it, and not just kind of, you know, you got to level 30 and you kind of put it away, or got to level 20-something and you kind of were like, you know, I'm tired of this grind. The way they've balanced it now is that if you're actually being punished if you've grinded all those extra resources that you used to need, because now they've made it so that these new resources they've introduced through this expansion pack are the ones you need, and now all those other resources that you grinded for before, you can kind of just throw them away.
Okay, great, great. Let's move over to the NES Remix Pack. This is something that I found pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about the NES Remix Pack.
Okay, so the NES Remix Pack was 2 games that came out for the Wii U through the eShop, and what they've done now is, with the Ultimate Pack for the 3DS, is they've taken those first 2 games from the Wii U, put them on 1 cartridge, they've taken the best of those first 2 games and kind of made like a director's cut, sort of, for the 3DS. And what you've got here is, it's 16 classic NES games, right? It's the original Legend of Zelda, it's the original 3 Mario Brothers,
yeah.
It's the original Kirby. And what they do is that instead of just playing those games in their entirety like you used to, they offer you special challenges in each game. You know, use only bow and arrows to defeat moblins in the Legend of Zelda, or, you know, don't use, you know, beat a stage in Mario Brothers in 30 seconds, or things like that nature. And so it's kind of putting a twist on these classic stages and classic games that you haven't really seen before. So it's a chance to kind of really tap into your nostalgia.
Yeah.
By playing these old games again, but playing them in a fresh and new way.
Now, do they offer you to play it in the original way, or this is all basically new challenges? There's no option to go to the classic versions of the game?
Everything is basically has challenges tied into it. You can, the one thing with the Ultimate NES patch for the 3DS, though, is that they do give you the original Mario Brothers in its original form. But other than that, the rest of the games, it's really just stages and new challenges and new ways of doing old games. Because they figure that if you wanted to go play the old games, you can still go and do the Virtual Console and buy them the old school way via the Nintendo eShop. So this is kind of a new, fresh experience for most of these games and most of these stages.
All right, great. And there you have it. Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Also, if you want to follow Ray on Twitter, you most certainly can. It's at Ray Carcillo if you want to follow him on Twitter. Ray, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
No problem. And we'll be back right after this.